Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of the Creative Alchemist podcast. To those of you already supporting the show with a monthly subscription, thank you so much. If you'd like to become a supporter and help make this show possible, tap the link in this episode's description or visit anchor.fm/thecreativealchemist to become a monthly supporter. Thank you all again and enjoy. I already hit record. We're in it now.
We're in it. We are in it.
You're like, whoa, wait, what?
That's a hell of a start.
Yeah. Welcome back to another episode of The Creative Alchemist. I do not edit any of the episodes.
Clearly.
So y'all are going to get what you get.
Love it too.
I am here with the homie, Karan Walker, a.k.a. Karan and the Band.
We'll get to why she calls me and the band in a minute, but
you will get that story in a minute.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, thank you for being here. Please introduce yourself to the people. Let them know where you're from and what you do.
Sure. My name is Karan Walker. I'm a singer, actor, and model. Singing has always been in my life. It's been a passion of mine since I was a child. I'm currently in the process of recording some original material. Things I have done, I've sang at weddings, festivals, special events, political events, wherever they need a singer, I'm there. And it's, you know, I love all entertainment, but singing is truly number one for me.
What are your roots in singing? Where did it start? Bring me back.
So how did I start singing, right? So, you know, they say a lot of the great singers come from church, and I'm no different. Started in church, Shiloh Baptist Church in Hartford, Connecticut. Grew up singing in our youth choir, and of course graduated to the young adult choir and mass choir and praise team and all these things in specific groups. I grew up in church thinking that everyone could sing, you know, and they can't. But I got you laughing already. I'm trying to be serious here.
No, why? It's my podcast.
Hey, you know what? You own this. Let me do what I want.
You're ridiculous on here.
Right. But I thought everyone could sing. So it was one day at youth choir rehearsal, right? Miss Mary Ann Glass. We were there all surrounding her in like a little semicircle around the piano, right? And so I'm just singing. I'm new to church, maybe like, you know, 9, 10 years old. And one day she told me, come a little closer, just sing. And I'm just like, okay, she just wants to hear me more, but still not thinking anything of it. By the next weekend, right, I had a solo. So even then I'm home rehearsing, listening to this song called God Has Not Forgot by this artist named Tone. He now goes by B. Slade, but was Tone at the time. And, you know, I'm just singing and rehearsing. And so here comes the next Saturday. I'm down in front of the microphone, right? And all my friends, you know, they're laughing like, oh, he's about to sound a mess. He's not going to sing that great. You know how kids can be, just laughing, talking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just try to tune them out, close my eyes, and I start singing. And there's a point where the choir is supposed to come in as a background, and they're just kind of like looking at me with their mouths open, like, oh, wow, he really can sing, and he's good at it. And then even then I'm like, well, can't y'all sing too? Like, what's the big deal? And, you know, they couldn't. So that was a big deal. And so church was my roots. And my mom, even before that, taught me how to sing with the Bodyguard soundtrack. Whitney Houston is my favorite singer. And she would teach me how to hold the notes and hit the high notes and stuff like that. And I was like a little kid. And, you know, it just was something that just stuck with me. And so Whitney and the church and the rest, you know, that was my foundation, and it took off from there.
Where was the pivot for you? Where, because a lot of folks hearing about anything that's artful or creative, right? Mm-hmm. Singing, mm-hmm. dancing, music, painting, etc. There's a pivot for certain folks. There's a point in time where it's like, oh, this isn't just a hobby for me. Do you know when that was for you?
Where it was something like I realized I could really do and make money from. It might have been a couple years early on after church. well, while in church, rather, like maybe like the teenage years, to the point where I could, you know, really make money from it. Mm. I would get called to sing at this event or that event. It was all church related. They start giving me a little check at the end. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. And so that's when it really hit. And then it was stuff outside of the church. Can you sing at this event? Can you sing at this wedding? Can you do this and do that? And it wasn't until my adulthood I realized I could really make money from it, especially like in the summertime with festivals and things like that. And, you know, really charge what I believe I'm worth and people will pay it. And I was like, wow, okay. This is nice. And then, you know, people have to realize just because it comes easy to you does not mean you should sell yourself short. You know what I mean?
I need you to repeat that. What?
Just because something comes easy to you does not mean charge a little bit of money or sell yourself short for it. You know, I can sing and I can write and I can, you know, maybe make something out of nothing and maybe plan an event, or maybe you can, you know, mold something out of clay or paint or host this or do that. Yes, it may be part of your natural given talent, but that's a gift, you know, and it's a gift you're giving other people, and it's not for free. Mm-hmm. You can do some pro bono stuff here and there and volunteer, but it's not volunteer work. And if somebody tells you, whether you're 10 or 100 years old, 90 years old, oh, well, I can't pay you, but exposure. No, thank you.
Especially in this day and age. Oh, that word. Oh.
Exposure.
That's the first word around here, and I curse a lot.
Yeah, I know it. But they, exposure. That's all they will tell you. And what are you going to get exposed on? Especially in this day and age with Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok. What are you going to get exposure? Why? What are you talking about? Exposure? No, thank you. And I didn't believe that before social media was popping. And I definitely don't believe it now. But when you're younger and you don't know any better, okay, well, you know, can network and this and that. And people will tell you, well, go ahead on and you can network and who knows the opportunities. But you know, take the, just consider the source when you're doing things. You know, if they're not in that world, why would you really consider what they have to say? We know we love an opinion from family members and loved ones, but, you know, it's considered the source of, you know, you're taking your information and advice from. That's and I went on a tangent a little bit. But
you know, we're passionate about it. You know, we're passionate about being paid and getting and having our gift be taken care of. It's part of us honoring the gift that we do have is to be compensated appropriately. It's an energy exchange with somebody else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, treat it thusly. Are there any kind of gigs that you really enjoy getting? Like, do you love the weddings? Do you love the church events? Like,
what do I love? I love like the summer festivals, things like that. Getting out there and just me, a band, and we're there, we're singing, we're performing, we're, you know, doing ad-libs, impromptu things. That's what's really fun. We can connect with the people. And when I do those like festivals and things like that, it's like nothing in a particular genre most times. I can just sing what I want to sing, play with it, do different arrangements, you know, and it's fun. You know, you can do that for like an hour. It's your own concert. It really is. And it's fun. So those I enjoy the most.
Mm. What kind of a singer would you classify yourself as, if any?
I would say my style of singing is R&B, pop music. And it is kind of in the vein of like Luke James, Usher, Sam Smith, those people.
Oh, Luke James, Jesus Christ. in a good way.
Like Luke James, on your fan. Wait a minute, not a crazy fan. No. He's very talented and underrated. He has an amazing voice.
That. Facts. Do you have a favorite performance that you've done so far? A or favorite one that sticks out in your mind? Yeah.
One that sticks out in my mind, let me think. I've never been asked that before. It's like, it's like I love it all. What if it sticks out in your mind, I guess of like all time?
Mm-hmm.
I would say it probably would be the very first time I sang a solo going back to that story at church. So it was one thing to, you know, let's hear people, you know, say you can actually sing, your friends or whatever, but you still, I just didn't think anything of it. So after choir rehearsal, we went to like Burger King and did whatever and go do your homework or play outside, whatever. But then you come back and sing that Sunday. And so we're dressed up, I'm a little suit on or whatever. And I don't know, it was just something about that moment. It was so different. It was like, you know, a lot of times when we're church, you know, people, you know, whether you're in church or not, you can be moved to tears by a performance or by someone's voice. And I moved myself to tears, you know. I don't know what it was, the spirit come in or something. I don't know what it was, but that was different for me. It was like, wow, that's the moment that I'll never forget. Mm. And it's the reception of the people, you know. I'm just singing. I'm not trying to do anything special or a whole bunch of runs and riffs or different things. And they see that people really liked it. And I liked it. So that's when I knew. I said, okay, this is something different. This could be special.
Are you out here making people cry consistently?
Yes. It's time.
I love it. If you see that Karan is going to be performing, please bring a box of tissues.
You can't. It's like people like, it's like more than that. It's like all this nonverbal communication. You're singing, but I actually like sing at the people. I'll look in your eye. You know, you smile. You have to, it's like, you know, I've done plays before, but it's like you're acting out what you're singing. You know, you got to think about what you've been through and what the song is talking about and connect with the people. Because if I'm not connecting with the people, I'm in my head, I'm nervous. Yeah. But I'll, you know, it's kind of weird, but I'll look you dead in your eye and just keep singing. And it's like, it almost like intimidates people. They feel it more. It's like, oh, wow, my God, he's looking at me. He's singing to me with his eyes. That's right. Yes.
You are out here trying to ruin people. I am a fan.
You're a fan because I'm going to ruin people?
Yes. You're like, I'm going to look into your soul and I'm going to sing to your heart. And you weren't ready for that. You thought you were just going to hear a song? Mm-mm-mm. Nope.
No, not just a song. It's an experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I asked what your favorite performance was so far. And so kind of on the flip side of that, this is the question, Karan. This is the question.
Okay.
What's a tale of terror that you have experienced as a singer?
A tale of terror, I would say not even on stage, because you know, on stage you have your moments where it's can be, something can be off, you didn't rehearse, you have a few off notes, but you can always come back to that. A tale, a true terror, recording my first original song. Man. What happened? Oh, so here I am just writing. Gonna do my own song. I have an idea. So I'm talking to my cousin about it on my dad's side. I say my dad's side because, you know, that's different than my mom's side that I grew up with. So I got to clarify. So my dad's side, right? So I'm talking to her, and she has an ex-boyfriend who's into music, ex-boyfriends. But after this experience, I see why he's the ex. So he he said he can record me. He grew up singing in church or doing stuff in church, rather, in the media ministry. I'm done this, done that with singers, rappers, and everybody else. So I'm thinking he knows what he's talking about. I thought. So I go over to his house. Well, first of all, it wasn't his house. He was staying with somebody, so in a basement, right? So he charges me like, you know, a couple dollars. Like, maybe like
the basement. Let me stop.
No, you know what? I'm not downplaying anybody's struggle, but it was somebody else's house. And that's fine. You do what you got to do. You know, we all struggle in our own ways. But, you know, when it comes to the point where it's like midnight and I'm still there recording and I have to like tiptoe around somebody else's house and step over things to go pee upstairs on the first floor, that's a problem. Why can't I pee? Oh, yeah. I for those listening, I told Sulinette this story, but I don't think I left that detail out about the when I had to pee. Yeah, that was, I had to pee and I should have held it till I got outside, but peed in the bush. I don't know. But anyway. Oh, and that's not the terrible part. Hold on now. Grab your popcorn. Don't pull over. Hold on.
But wait. There's more.
Oh, there's more. There's always more. So, outside of me having to pee, so I'm recording the song, and he's kind of like rushing me to get it done. I'm like, okay, I'm just taking my time trying to. And it was one point in the song, he was like, well, what's your voice doing? I say, what? It's like doing this waving thing. I think you're off key. I said, well, no, no, no. Hold on now. Wait a minute. Let me hear it. And so I hear it. I said, I don't hear what you're hearing. But I said, well, maybe he has more talent than me, or maybe been doing this longer. Which, another thing to sidebar, don't ever sell yourself short. People may know more than you, but you can pick up, you know, what feels right. You know, what doesn't. So just trust yourself and, you know, study on your own. But anyway, so he said something's, I don't hear it. So we listened to it like 5 times in a row. He keeps replaying this like one part. It's like a couple seconds. He said, that right there. That's what sounds off. And so for those who don't know, what he heard was called vibrato. And so it's like singing a note straight is ooh. But when I start doing this waving that he's talking about towards the end, I'll do that. Ooh. What I did at the end, a little ooh, 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 you know? He thought it was off key, and it was just vibrato, adding some, you know, texture to the note, adding some flair. And that's when I knew. I said, oh my God, he don't know what the hell he's doing. And I said, grew up singing in church. Church people always have a lot of heavy vibrato. No, oh, I know the law, you know. that was my church impression, but of an old church men's choir singer. But so that was that plus the pee moment. And then so we finished the song. And I'm thinking I'm going to hear back what he's done, and he's going to finish it. Then I pay him. But he wanted the money right there before I even put, you know, my coat on. He was like, wait, you don't have the money? I said, well, I thought I'd pay you once the job is done. Man, I mean, yeah, I guess you could do that, but you don't know what I had planned for that money. I could have had anything planned. Mind you, it was $50. You don't know what I had planned. And granted, you know, that could, hey, I don't know. But that was not discussed previously. So I said, okay, if it's that big of a deal to you, I understand times are hard, you know, I will pay you your cash, man. Oh, well, can you PayPal it? Sure, PayPal. Oh, but don't do a business or service. Do it as a, send it to a family or friend so it doesn't charge a dollar or whatever it is. And I'm like, wow. So he doesn't want the service charge for a service. And so I was like, yeah, I felt very uneasy walking to the car. I said, wow, this is bugged out. And so then a week passes by and he sends me the song. It doesn't sound great at all. I'm like, maybe I could have did this in here, did that there. I'm looking at it like a demo version, but I'm like, overall, the mix is kind of trash. But you know what? We can go back and fix it. It's in the studio. That's what the studio is for. So he asked me what I thought of the mix. I said, yeah, let's listen to it now. It's okay. I'm just making some notes of what I want to change with the next go around. He was like, change? Oh, no, it's done. I said, well, no, it's not done. And in my mind, I told him, like, well, I don't mind paying more for it to do more recording time or whatever sessions. Like, let's, like, figure it out. But it's not done at all by any means. And he was like, well, I think that it is done and we should move on to the next song. We don't want to spend too much time on it. And it will get better over time as we work with each other more. And I'm like, this is not an after-school project or an extracurricular activity. I'm paying you money, bruh. I'm paying you money. And you telling me it's going to get better over time. So you want me to put my name on this out in the public, and I'm not comfortable with it, and it will get better over time. But I'm paying you. I don't know if I had, like, sucker written on my forehead. I'm looking at and let it now. I'm rubbing my forehead and, like, I don't know, getting the ink off. I don't know.
If you just, like, plant it into the ground and you just wait over time, like, maybe in the spring, the song, it'll sound better.
Yeah. Fun. So we got into an argument.
Yeah.
So that was horrible. And then I went to record the song again with someone else. And he was much more, he wasn't this nicer. And the song sounded better. But I'm like, well, what about this and what about that? I'm asking him questions because, mind you, I'm new to the studio world. And I'm just used to live singing. But he said, you know what? It sounds good, but I know it could be better on my end, meaning himself. I was like, okay, what you got to do to it? Honestly, I don't know. I said, what? I don't know, man. I'm not used to dealing with people that can really sing. I said, oh. So mind you, the ex-boyfriend of my cousin, he had me all the way messed up. Then over here, this one over here talking about, I don't know what to do with you because
that is a
you
very
can actually sing. I said, oh, a compliment. And I'm just sitting there looking like a deer in headlights. Like, no, not again. So the third time I go to record it, which is recently. No, this third time is much better. We took a break with that. It's much better. Same, different concept. We rewrote some things. And, I'm sorry. That wasn't the third time. That's the final time. The song is all set to go now. The third time was with a guy out in New London. And he was very proficient in what he did. So mine's just the third take of this song, third time now. We've done it four times total. This is the third time. The third time, this guy was like, he had his own ideas and I had mine. He made it sound like something from the 90s. I thought it was like a lot of background. Imagine if Jagged Edge did an Afrobeat song. That's what this was. And I was like, no. That's not what we're doing. And he was like, oh, no. Well, fine. If you want to do it your way, fine. I'll just press a button. You can do what you want. Fine. This is what you want me to do. I'm like, I know this grown man old enough to be like my dad is not getting an attitude talking about I won't do anything. I'll just press a button. And I'm like, sir, I pay you. So granted, we were done with him. But this last time I finally finished the song how I want it to sound. Someone who was age appropriate to me, who actually knew what they did. This time I've learned from my lessons. I asked to hear samples of his work, hear his own work that he does, because he's an artist as well. He comes highly recommended. I've known people in the engineering producing world that he's worked with. So I vetted my sources. I knew what it was. And, I learned from my mistakes. So, yeah, that's the most important part. We have the funny stories to laugh about it. When I couldn't go pee and when I had to, it's in the garage another time. It's a lot. That's the Cliff Notes version. But but I learned my lessons. And the song is great.
How many songs was it that you were working on with this debacle?
Oh, that was all one song. Okay. So I see why artist albums get pushed back and released a year or two later or scrapped. I can see why. I definitely can see why. Because all that right there. But my saving grace definitely was my musical consultant. She was great. I talked to her, someone else who's been vetted, who's worked with people. So yeah, it's all a big learning process. But yes, mm-hmm. That was all for one song. Yeah.
So with that being said, what is some advice? What's some advice you would give to other singers when it comes to working in the studio, when it comes to their vocals, which could include like taking care of and performance or performing?
Studios start with that. Obviously, that's what I have learned the most about the most recently. When you go to meet with people, producers, anybody, ask plenty of questions. You know, you don't know any better. Ask plenty of questions. You don't know what to ask. Ask for their samples of work. Hear who they've worked with. You know, ask around and, you know, locally or in the business. Who's this person? What do you know about him? Have you worked with her? Have you worked with him? What was this? What was that? What challenges do you guys face? You know, ask around in their circle and ask directly to hear about their work, their work ethic. And if they're getting annoyed by you asking questions, let it go. Because obviously this person is like, you know, they're not with it. I would bring samples of your own work or songs that you want your songs to be in the vein of. You know, I even did that with the guy who, guy number three, who was far and got an attitude. Who made it sound like a Jagged Edge song. I did that with him and he kind of went left and did his own thing. And at that time, maybe I should have spoken up, but you know what? I trusted his judgment more than I trusted mine. And I shouldn't have done that. It's like, well, no, I don't want this. I want that. And it became to the point where it was like a fight over my song that I wrote and I'm the one who's paying for it, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. But just ask plenty of questions. Follow your gut. Ask those questions earlier on, even if you start that session you're paying. It's okay to walk away if you pay for an hour of service and it's not up to par. It's okay. You know, trust me, it's better to do that than spend more and more time trying to make it right with one person. It's like when they say you're dating people, there's plenty of millions of people in this world you can date and have relationships with. It's plenty of producers up and coming, plenty of engineers up and coming, plenty of those who are already in the business, who are experienced. it's more people to work with than just who you have at that moment at somebody else's house when you have to step over and go pee. It's more. It's more. Trust me.
What advice would you give other singers when it comes to performance? Oh, poor Karan. I'm so sorry.
Performing, practice. We all have our smartphones and iPhones, and some of y'all with the Androids. You have your voice memos. What I do often is I'll sing just even around the house and hear it back. What I like? What did I like? What didn't I like? You know, don't be ashamed to see a vocal coach, but again, a vetted person, not just anybody who's on Instagram saying, hey, I can sing, I can give voice lessons. Do they really know what they're talking about, though? Having a consultation meeting, you know, don't just jump into anything with anybody, even if someone, they do come highly recommended. It may work for Karan, may not work for you, you know what I mean? And vice versa. Plenty of water, you know, warm up scales, you can always get better. And there's always stuff on YouTube. There's not a particular person that I follow on YouTube, but YouTube can teach you a lot. It's like YouTube University. You can learn anything and everything with Google and YouTube. So just do your research, learn a lot, you know, and, you know, as much as I love all these great people who I named before, I'm not them, but also they're not me. I don't want to sound like them, but I can be influenced because just naturally and biologically speaking, Whitney's my favorite singer. I'm a man, she was a woman. I'm not going to sound like Whitney Houston. You know what I mean? I may have tried, you know, in the bathroom, but it's not going to happen. I have to bring the key down, you know, to sound like Karan. And that's okay. You know, don't try to be anyone but yourself. And over time, you know, you'll learn your own sound. When you hear me, you may hear a little bit of a Whitney run here or there, or a little influence of phrasing from this person or that person, or something that Luke James did, maybe I'll try, or something maybe like a, who I compare my voice to most sounding like is maybe Kenny Lattimore from back in the day in the 90s, but just an updated version. I think just my natural tone is more like his, you know, very like a crooner and you know, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And sleep. Sleep makes a big difference, especially if you're recording the next day or if you have to perform live. Sleep makes the world of a difference. It's like recharging your battery. Your body performs better in the gym and life. Your mind is clear and your voice is going to be that much better. Easier to hit the notes, not as tired, not as strained. You don't have to stress it and push as much. So your rest is definitely important. Above all of what I said, rest, practice, and, you know, those are the main two things. Rest and practice, I think, work best for me.
I'm not going to say that Karan comes through with the thirst trap picks, but wait a minute. Through with thirst trap picks of,
now what's I gotta do with warming up?
Because you know, you mentioned the gym and you know, like,
oh, you're not, oh, well, speaking, I mean, hey,
the pictures are there on Instagram, so if anybody's looking for advice as to like what would help you as a singer, I'm letting you know that there's also visual cues that you could get when you go to Karan's profile and look at his thirst trap pictures. They are there. They do exist.
They are there. And that's Karan W on Instagram. QURONW at Karan W. See the thirst trap. Hear the voice. It's again, the full package. You want the full experience, don't you?
Be inspired. Be inspired. Which helps you
in performing. The soul and the physical.
Like, I don't know scientifically how it helps you musically, but it's there. I know it's there.
It makes you feel, you know, keeping your body in shape. That's what we're doing. So we can perform more. Get your stamina up for the stage.
Yeah. You did mention that you had a musical advisor. Could you tell me more about that? And would you recommend that for other people?
Absolutely. Her name is Charmaine Glass Tripp of Grip Productions. She has been in the business for quite some time. She knows what she's talking about. She'll keep it honest with you, keep it a buck with you, and talk about, you know, just her perspective of the business. She's actually been in the business, worked with, you know, artists like Eminem. I believe she won a Grammy from, you know, her work on a song with him. So she's the real deal. She has her own production company with her wife. She's amazing. You know, a great person, a genuine person who can maybe cut out some of the riffraff that I've been through, like, you know, my cousin's ex-boyfriend or this person in their garage. She's worked with several people and more than several, you know, she's has vetted a lot. She's been through some of the hard stuff. So she can tell you not to work with this one. Here's what to ask. Look for this. How about this? You're writing this song? Remember, keep this in mind. What about this? What about that? You know what I mean? Those type of things. And she's the one who actually hooked me up with my current band director, my musical director, Wayne Patrick, and the Wayne Patrick Band. When I am out performing with a band, it's been them. So that's how Sulinette said the band. That's why she's laughing. That's the band. Why do you laugh every time I say something about the band? I think it was something I posted on Instagram. A great
segue into why. So I saw the story about why I will always call Karan in the band. Regardless of whether or not there is actually a band present.
It is. All I did was say Karan and the Wayne Patrick Band, but it was a picture of myself. And I think she was like, where's the band? There's been something that may have been several stories like that on Instagram. And she's like, but I don't see the band.
I was shown a flyer that said Karan and the Band, and the only human being that was on that flyer was Karan. And I was like, there's no band here.
The band was behind me. The band was behind me, okay?
So even in my phone, Karan is Karan and the Band.
No, it's not. Stop it. Stop it. I don't believe it.
I can't. I am not lying to you. Ever since that day, that has been your name in my phone.
Oh, please stop it! Stop it! The Wayne Patrick Band is great. Trust me, they are actually present in person, whether Sulinette believes me or not. They are there.
I just want to see them on the flyer.
They'll be when we get back with this pandemic and stuff is over. We'll do that. Wayne is great. Wayne is exceptional. An exceptional songwriter, singer himself, musician. He's great. So between yes. Wayne Patrick and Charmaine Glasstrip, you know, they really helped me hone a lot of my musical skills. And that's only been a couple of years working with them. And that's another thing. I'm not afraid to say I didn't do it on my own. Mm. A lot of people from Connecticut, you know, I remember a story. I won't mention names, but a female friend who's an artist got into it with other local artists on Clubhouse. The other artists were saying how Clubhouse. So they were saying how they made it with no help. And she called them out and said, actually, you did make it with help. And I could call you all out because I know who you've worked with. And they didn't take too kindly to that. They stayed quiet, but I guess they got mad and didn't follow her back on social media, which is kind of petty. It's like, you know, I'm not afraid to give someone credit where credit is due, whether you're a good artist or rapper or whatever it may be. A good producer, a good person who helped me out, because I'm confident enough in my talent. It's okay. You can work with these people. It's fine. Because I have my own thing going. It's cool. I'm not threatened by it. Mm-hmm. This is very important to remember. If you hone in on those skills and doing all the things that we talk about and practice and plenty of other stuff we haven't talked about, I mean, you won't have time to worry, you know, to, you know, pull someone else down. You can share the stage with people. It's okay. Trust me. It's perfectly fine.
Yes. I feel like I'm not supposed to curse on an episode with you, even though I've cursed in every single last one of them.
You do? Oh, look at that. The moral code. Look at that. Besides the thirst traps on the Instagram.
I'm trying. See, but that wasn't me cursing. I could have said, never mind. So.
You said that for the after show. The after show is going to be lit. Y'all got to figure it out. That's going to be on, it's going to be like a Patreon link or something.
Oh my God. I mean, I do have one.
I mean, now come on, and that's not really hear me talk. Then that's good. Mm. Yeah. Now that's the real story. That's some. Ooh.
Lord. What are some tangible things that have helped you along the way?
Tangible things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Legit.
So you mentioned things like YouTube. You mentioned that you have a musical advisor.
It's this app I have on my phone. We're going to look it up now so I can tell you. It's called Vocal Ease. E-A-S-E. Vocal Ease. I do those apps. I listen to that app about warm-ups and just everything. Exercises. I can do that while I'm driving. You know, I'll let that play in the speaker. It's like these little tabs I take some time to throw. I forget what they're called. Vocal Zone. Those are things like if you're having a stressed out throat and, you know, it's inflamed and, you know, just chorus. You have to perform, pop those in, it soothes everything. Little chloroseptic back there. I love Ricolas. Those are like things I use when it's time to sing. Plenty of water. You know, it's simple things, but it truly do make a difference. You know, the thing I like to do is, you know, if it's tangible, find artists not necessarily that you like, but artists that you sound similar to. Maybe ask your friends, who do I sound like? Whether it be from the 90s, 80s, 70s, you know, all the way from, you know, maybe Stevie Wonder to Chris Brown, you know, who do I sound like? You know, and maybe give these artists some type of listens, figure out how they, you know, do their phrasing or the type of songs that they sound good on or the keys they sing in. And maybe, you know, not saying be them, but you can model some stuff after them and pull from it as you create your own songs and write songs, you know, and as you sing and develop your own sound. So it's like things you can do on your own that are minimal cost or free. You know, that app, I believe, costs, what, $2.99, and I still have it. It hasn't been updated in forever, but it still works.
What's the dream with the music?
The dream with the music is to do the music full time, to be known as a singer and songwriter. And when Quran comes to mind, singing will come to mind. And I have a lot of work to do to build my social media presence with that. In real life, I'm all about it, but I have to be consistent on social media, and that's me being honest. Rebuilding the YouTube channel, putting more stuff out there on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all like that, you know, because I may not have the biggest social media presence, but a brother does get paid when it's time to sing. Believe me when I tell you. But, you know, I would love to do it full time and let music fund the dream of, you know, being free and doing what you want to do. You know, it won't stop at music. I think music will be that avenue of something that I really want to do and put me in a lot of doors to you know, do what I want for maybe nonprofits or other entertainment venues, so and avenues. So, you know, that would be the dream. That's what I see right now.
Anybody in particular that you would love to work with?
Oh, anybody right now?
Manifest, yes.
Manifest it? Okay, let me hear. I think, I would love, again, to work with Luke James. I think we'd do something great. Sam Smith, I like his songs, some of his songs. I think we would sound good on a record together. Who would I want to work with? Let me think. I don't know. I'm really like I'm reaching up now. I'm reaching up. you know, those are two of the big ones right now. You know, why not put me you two up there? Why not do it all? You never know what may happen. Bruno Mars, why not?
I love it.
it'll be funny. Look back 10 years from now, like, oh wow, he did it.
Yeah, 10 years. Give me 5.
Yeah, that's right. See, again, don't sell yourself short. Sometimes you gotta have your friends to slap you back into reality. Come on now, 5 years.
Was there anything that I didn't ask you in this interview that I should have asked you?
Nothing I think you didn't ask me, but something I would want to say and maybe add. Yeah. I would say don't give up.
Aww.
Don't give up on your dreams, no matter whether you're a singer, an artist, and another right, or any creative. Don't give up, even if people have told you no. If you believe it and it's a burden that won't leave you, like something that's on your heart all the time or something you try to get away from, but it always circles back to it. Don't leave it. You know, see, for me, before even I was making money, it was something that was near and dear to my heart. It meant so much to me. It was fun to see people on the Grammys or YouTube singing and performing, you know. Singing is what helped me in my own personal life. You know, we didn't talk about this, Zulinette. Maybe that's a whole other podcast, but ooh, me being a cancer survivor and coming through that situation, I was thinking to myself a lot at the hospital. You know what I mean? It was over a year of end-stage treatments. You know what I mean? And that was, you know, something that kept my mind going. Kept me sane, you know, me singing to the nurses, they'd overhear me. And like, I go for my yearly checkups now, they still want me like, well, Quran, sing us a song, and I do it because I love I love them because without them, I would not be here. They helped save my life. And just me singing, that was just something we all shared. So singing is something that has brought me through a whole lot of stuff that in my faith. So just it's something I you know, I don't want it to leave me. And me being here through the cancer, being a cancer survivor twice, I know I have something.
Twice.
I know I'm here for a reason. Mm. Yeah.
Well, we are already now claiming that like there is going to be episode 2.
I'm ready.
Yeah, we have to talk more about this. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm. I'm so excited, and the people at home, like, hold us accountable.
I would love to be back to talk about whatever my story again or just anything. Sulina, I think you're doing a great thing. And, you know, I have love for you always. We always connected. And, you know, I'm happy to share my story and just share my perspective of life. I don't know it all, but what I do know, I'm happy to talk about.
Yes. I mean, that's how we got here. That's how we got to this podcast episode was we were just on a call checking in with you as friends ought to do.
That's right.
And I was like, you know, it's so different for me having conversations with people that know that they are creative and claim the title of being a creative of some sort, whether it's, mm-hmm. I don't care. You build shit with Legos, you are a singer, a dancer, whatever. The conversations are just, they feel like home to me. So I was like, mm-hmm. you need to get on the podcast with me. because again, like just what it is that we talk about, how it is that we trust our craft, how we know, like it's just intuition for us that what we do heals and moves people and is just important, like it's vital to our existence.
Right.
It really is.
It's like another form of expression. You do it with your art and poetry. I do it with singing and being a songwriter. And I think just that public forum, being out there, putting something out from inside yourself, it all flows, just expressing yourself and your thoughts and your feelings, putting it out there.
Right, right. Whoo! All right, this is part one. Part two is coming in a little bit. Karan and I are going to schedule that.
Absolutely.
But certainly last but not least, please let the good people at home know how to, one, support you, and then two, how to appropriately stalk you.
How to appropriately stalk me.
Yeah, like respectfully.
Respectfully. We love respectfully. On Instagram, Karan W. So that's QUORONW. On Facebook, you can type in Karan, QUORON. You'll see me right there, my music page on there. Those are my two main avenues. We're going to be up on streaming services very soon. Hopefully, you know, I won't even say hopefully, I will be on streaming services very soon, Karan Walker, by part two of our podcast. So you'll see the song that took forever to make and much more for sure. So, but right now, keep updated on, I would say, Instagram right now, at Karan W. And you'll see much more. That'll be my main way of getting stuff out. Mm. You can see the singing. And as Sulinette pointed out, maybe some gym thirst traps. Hey, why not?
Maybe.
You know, a shirt off while singing. Here we go.
Karan, thank you so much for talking with me.
Of course. Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. I loved it. I'll be back for sure.
Oh. And I would like to give you the honor. At the end of every episode, I say, and now for the outro. But as my guest, please let folks know it's now time for the outro.
All right, everybody. And now it's time for the outro.
Alrighty, mi gente. This has been another episode of The Creative Alchemist. I am your hostess with the mostest, Sulinette. You can check out the rest of my life at sulinette.com. That's ZULYNETTE.com. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and support it with a monthly subscription by clicking on this episode's description or by visiting anchor.fm/thecreativealchemist. Thank you to our current supporters. Until next time, stay hydrated, stay creative. Peace.